An elderly lady was driving a big, new, expensive car and preparing to back into a parallel parking spot when a man in a small, sporty sports car whipped in behind her and stole her spot. The woman angrily asked why he had done this when he could tell she was trying to park there. His response was simply, "Because I'm young and I'm quick." Well, the young man then entered the store, and when he came back out a few minutes later, he found the elderly lady using her big new car as a battering ram, backing up and then ramming it into his car, pulling forward, backing it up, ramming it into his car. He very angrily asked her why she was wrecking his car. Her response, "Because I'm old and I'm rich." Now, if we're really, really honest with ourselves and one another, we would admit that all that keeps us from doing the very same thing is that we lack the means or the opportunity. Injustice has happened or will happen to every single one of us. We will suffer in varying degrees being done wrong. Now, last week, we saw James turn into a prophet as he denounced the oppressive rich, ripping off the poor of their society. But what about the message to those very ones who were oppressed? Well, in James chapter 5, we see him taking off his prophet's hat and putting on his pastor's hat once again. You see that in verses 5 through or 7 through 12 by the use of the tender term brethren four different times. Verse 7, verse 9, verse 10, and verse 12. James tenderly, pastorally addresses these folks as brethren. And we discover three encouraging examples of keeping your focus on Christ to deal with the injustices and abuses from others. Now, folks, we can either respond that way, maintain our focus on Christ, or we can be like the man who was told by his physician, "Yes, I'm sorry to tell you, you have rabies." And he immediately pulled out a pad and grabbed his pen and started writing. Well, the doctor thought he was scratching out some notes for his will. And he said, No, you don't understand. This doesn't mean you're going to die. We have a cure for rabies." And the guy said, "I know that. I'm making a list of people I'm going to bite." So you're going to respond that way? Or like James encourages us to respond, keep our focus on Christ. Notice in verses 7 through 9, he teaches us that, like the farmer, we need to keep working. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." Notice three times in these verses, James says, "Be patient, be patient, be patient." The word is the word we get in other portions of the New Testament, long suffering. What does it mean? It means to suffer long. It means to have a long fuse, long tempered. It's a call for self-restraint that enables us to refrain from hasty retaliation in the face of provocation. And notice, that kind of patience, that kind of long temper is going to be necessary, we are told, until the coming of the Lord. You see, folks, it's not until Jesus comes that all injustice will be taken care of. Then and only then will things be made right. So in the meantime, be patient, like the farmer. Now, the reason he uses a farmer to illustrate this long temper, this patience, is because when you think about it, a farmer is the only person who has a career the success of which has nothing to do with his amount of work or labor. The farmer can get up early and stay up late working his fields, but if it doesn't rain, crop failure. And so the farmer has to be patient. In fact, James says in verse 7, until it receives the early and the late rains. You read about the early and the latter rains several places in Scripture. The early rains in the Middle East occur in late October through November. The bulk of them come in December through February. And these are the rains that softened the earth to prepare for the plowing and the sowing of the field. The late rains came in April through May, and they were vital for maturing the crops, causing the seed to grow and the crops to flourish. And James says, in light of these things, be patient. But not only that, he says, be positive. Look at verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers. Literally, the word is stop grumbling. He's not preventing an action. He is saying, stop what you're doing. Stop grumbling against one another. You know, we have a human tendency when subjected to oppression and injustice to kind of vent and lash out against anybody, oftentimes those who are nearest and dearest to us, because of our frustration in being done wrong. There's a little ditty that I learned years ago. To walk in love with saints above will be a wondrous glory. To live below with saints we know, that's another story. Reminds me of the story Chuck Swindoll tells about a Quaker who owned an ornery cow. Every time he milked this cow, it was a clash of wills. And on this particular morning, she was unusually irritable. But he was determined to endure the session without so much as a cross word. As the farmer began to milk her, old Bossy stepped on his foot with all her weight. He struggled silently and groaned a little under his breath, pulled his foot out from under her, sat back down on the stool, continued milking. Then she swished her tail, making it like a whip intended for his face. He just leaned back, trying to avoid the tail. Next, she kicked over the bucket, half full of milk. He started over, mumbling a few words to himself, but he never lost his cool. Once finished with the ordeal, he breathed a sigh of relief, picked up the bucket and stool, and as he was leaving, she hauled off and kicked him against the barn, spilling the entire bucket. That did it. The farmer got to his feet and walked over in front of old Bossy, stuck his long bony finger in his face and said, "Thou knowest that I'm a Quaker, and thou knowest that I cannot speak ill to thee, but I can sell thee to a Presbyterian." The patient and positive working illustrated by a farmer are both motivated by the return of Christ. Did you see it in these verses? Not only three times does he say be patient, but three times references the return of Jesus. Pastor Kent Hughes of the College Church in Wheaton, Illinois, commented on these verses this way. "In my ministry, I've noticed that when people are hurting, they frequently express their hope for Christ's return. Oh, I wish the Lord would return today, they say. But I have never heard anyone say, things are going so well, I wish the Lord would come back. Hard times make us long for Christ's return." It is no surprise that almost all the hymns which center on the return of Christ were written when life was more difficult than it is today. He goes on to write, "It is also revealing that black hymnody, especially focused on Christ's return, precisely because the slaves had nothing in this world. So their hymns rang out with longings about crossing over Jordan to life in the land that was fairer than day." Now, folks, when I read his comments that I just read to you, I had an aha moment. Because, you see, when I, as a white pastor, read those words about the coming of the Lord draws nigh, the judge is at the door, I read them theologically concerning the soon return of Jesus. The fact that Jesus' return is imminent, it's at any moment. But when a black pastor, especially a pastor of yesteryear, reads those same verses, he reads them with the practical application that when Jesus comes back, all oppression, all abuse, all suffering will be over. And that the light went on. I'm like, wow, these are the same verses. But because of my experience as a white pastor, I read them in a certain way. And because of the experience that many of our black brothers and sisters have undergone, they read these verses with a totally different application. It's not that they're wrong and we're right, or we're wrong and they're right. We're just different. And we need to appreciate those differences. Oftentimes you get a little postcard in the mail that says, save the date. And it refers to a wedding or a graduation or something like that. Well, here you go. Save the date. July 31st, we are rekindling our fellowship with Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. I had lunch with, praise the Lord, I had lunch with Pastor Woods, and he is so excited about our coming. We're going there. We're going, as Pastor Hill used to call it, to the hood the first time. And we're going to meet with them and fellowship with them. Because we here at River Cities want to be agents of change in our community. We don't want to be a part of the problem. We want to be part of the solution. In fact, we have a group of folks, small group of folks, but still a group of folks. We call ourselves the Kingdom Partners that meet, every other week, sometimes every week, and discuss how we can further our trust and our love and our relationship one with another and further the advancement of our city. You want to be a part of that? You're welcome to come. Wednesday, 5 o'clock, in my office. Be there or be square. When faced with injustice, like the farmer, folks, keep working. Keep working positively and keep working patiently. But notice in verse 10, he uses a second illustration. Like the prophets, keep witnessing. Keep witnessing. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You see, the message of the prophets, if you spend any time reading the prophetic books of the Old Testament, you will come to the realization that their message was not always popular. I just finished this week reading Jeremiah. He is probably the best illustration of an unpopular message. They threw him into a cistern full of mud. They arrested him. They beat him. In fact, in Jeremiah 20, verses 8 and 9, listen to what he said. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. That was Jeremiah's message. And brothers and sisters in Christ, the more our society descends into darkness, the less popular our message is going to be. Just mark it down. Take it to the bank. It is not going to be a popular thing to stand for Jesus or speak in his name. Just like with the prophets. But notice What motivated the prophets? What motivated the farmer was the coming of Christ. What motivated the prophets was the blessing of Christ. Verse 11, behold, we consider those blessed who've remained steadfast. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, Jesus, in speaking his beatitudes, said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Watch this. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The blessing of the prophets becomes our blessing when we speak in Jesus' name. The late Warren Wiersbe said, you cannot persevere unless there's a trial in your life. There can be no victories without battles. There can be no peaks without valleys. If you want the blessing, you must be prepared to carry the burden and fight the battles. Through times of ill treatment, friends, keep working like the farmer, looking for the coming of Christ. Keep witnessing like the prophets, experiencing the blessing of Christ. And notice the third illustration he uses. Like Job, keep waiting. Keep waiting. Look at the middle of verse 11. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job. Now, you may have a translation that reads, like the King James Version, you've heard of the patience of Job. And you hear that expression tossed around a lot, don't you? Oh boy, she's got the patience of Job to live with that guy. Or he has the patience of Job to work for that man. The word translated patience there is really better translated endurance. It's literally a word that's made up of two words, to remain under. Hupomone. To endure, to remain under, or to be steadfast. And by the way, did you know this was the only place in the New Testament that mentions Job by name? I was surprised when I learned that this last week. Wow, Job was such a huge character in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, he's only mentioned here. And it has to do with his endurance in the face of testing. Notice in verse 12, it speaks of our integrity. Not only our endurance in testing, but our integrity in testing. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Say what you mean what you say. Let your words have integrity. Why? Because of the love of Christ. Because of the love of Christ. Verse 11, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. When he speaks of verbal integrity in verse 12, it reminds me of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 34 through 37. I mean, almost these identical words. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Trust me, I've tried. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil or the evil one. And so James repeats the thought of Jesus about having integrity in our life as well as our speech. And we're motivated by the love of Christ. Verse 11, the second part, you have heard of the steadfastness of Job. You have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Anne Graham Lotz, the daughter of Billy Graham, wrote these words. When you cannot trace his hand of purpose, you must trust his heart of love. And folks, every one of us are going to face times where we cannot figure out what God is doing. We cannot trace his hand of purpose. So then we are cast upon trusting his heart of love. Christian, it is inevitable that injustice will come your way. How are you going to respond? Are you going to respond like the farmer and just keep working, looking for the return of Jesus, living in expectation of his coming? Are you going to live like Job and experience Christ? Or the prophets, excuse me, are you going to live like the prophets and experience Christ's blessing? Remember, no buffeting, no blessing. Or are you going to live like Job with the expression of Christ's love? What we have to do, notice, it's all about Jesus. Expect his coming. Experience his blessing. Express his love. Maintain our focus on Christ. That means you have to know him. That means you have to be a believer in him. Not just believe that he lived and died and even rose again. Like we just celebrated in Easter. But that he lived and died for you, taking your penalty for sin upon him on that cross. And he rose again to prove that what he did for you worked. That's saving faith. And I would love to talk with you about that after the service. After we're done singing our final song in the prayer room, just through those doors, it would be my honor to show you how you can know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus is your Savior. God is your Father. Heaven is your home. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord in heaven, for these encouraging examples and comforting words. Lord, I pray for someone here today who has never placed his or her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw them to yourself, I pray. Lord, give them the faith to believe that what you did on the cross, Jesus, you did for them. And may they reach out in saving faith to you today. this day. I pray in your precious name. Amen.